You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is former Arizona Sheriff Richard Mack and Shane Harger from New Mexico. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, you're welcome.
Yes, sir.
Something happened. I saw it on the internet about a New Mexico police chief having a problem with the Transportation Security Administration and a big imbroglio after that. I want to get into that in great detail in a moment. But for the benefit of the listeners, I've interviewed Sheriff Mack on numerous occasions, and many people know of Sheriff Mack and what he's doing for the country. He's a great American. Sheriff, and I know it'll be better in your own words because, as I've said before, you're a terrific speaker and you could say what you're going to say much better than I could. Just give the listeners just a quick background on the significance of the Supreme Court case, Mack versus United States.
Well, it was quite historical, and as a matter of fact, coincidentally, it'll be 20 years in 2 weeks that I filed that lawsuit.
Wow.
I can't believe all that's happened in 20 years, but the 20-year anniversary of the actual filing, we didn't win until 3.5 years later in June of 1997, but as I look back over the last 20 years, it's just absolutely miraculous. It's amazing, and it's historical from several different viewpoints. One, it's the only time that a couple of sheriffs got together to sue the federal government, take it all the way to the United States Supreme Court, and win a landmark decision on behalf of the American people regarding state sovereignty and regarding the 10th Amendment. So it's the most powerful and historic 10th Amendment decision in the history of our country. It's extremely poignant when it comes to declaring that the federal government is not our boss. As a matter of fact, the decision states that the state legislatures are not subject to federal direction. In other words, the federal government can't tell us what to do, and that's what they were trying to do when I filed the lawsuit. They were trying to commandeer the office of sheriff for federal bidding and forcing us as sheriffs to participate in a federal gun control scheme. In fact, that's actually a quote right out of the decision also. So it was a 5-4 split decision. The Supreme Court sided with Sheriff Prince and myself, and it's just been an amazing roller coaster ride ever since, trying to get people to pay attention to this decision, to find out about it. It was very well hidden by the Clinton administration and the media so that the states wouldn't get the idea that they're actually free and independent of federal incursions and overreach. And so yesterday, this was kind of a great way to culminate the 20-year anniversary. I testified before the subcommittee at the Arizona State Senate on public safety, and they're actually proposing SB 1290 by Senator Burgess, who penned the legislation requiring all federal agencies and agents to check with the local sheriff before they do anything in their jurisdictions. So that's a great check and balance, and that's also coincidentally something that we promulgated at our recent CSPOA conference. And that brings us to the moment of question at this point as to why Chief Shane Harger was fired and terminated as Chief of Police in Hemet Springs, New Mexico. We're really concerned about what happened to him. We're really concerned about the dishonesty and corruption that's being uncovered. And we and I continue to work with chiefs and sheriffs all across the country who will stand for freedom, who will stand for their oath of office, and do the right thing in protecting people from all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And so that's why we exist as the CSPOA, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. And we'd love to have all your listeners and loyal fans to become part of the CSPOA, and they can do that at CSPOA.org.
Thanks, Sheriff. I was right, wasn't I, Shane?
Oh, my gracious. You hit the nail on the head.
So for the benefit of the listeners, Shane, why don't you give them a little bit of background about who you are before we get into what happened?
Sure. Well, my name is Shane Harger, and been working in law enforcement for approximately 15 years, working as chief of police there in Hemet Springs, the small rural department. I've been invited to attend a CSPOA meeting there in Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, I knew nothing whatsoever about this organization, never heard of it before, didn't know what I was getting into. As far as I knew, this was just another sheriffs and chiefs convention, which, you know, oftentimes we attend in our law enforcement realm because we want to get funding, right? It's all about funding. And so if I can get funding, that's where I'm going to go. So I went to this thing and really not knowing what to expect. And I get there, and it blew my mind. This was just a situation where it was unlike any previous convention I'd ever been to. This was not rebel rousing and people going out after the meeting and getting drunk. This was not about the who's who of law enforcement. These people were very sincere and they were very direct. From the moment this thing started, it was all about what can we do to protect the people of the United States? What can we do to protect the Constitution and the Bill of Rights? And they went right to work. Quite literally, people were rolling up their sleeves, grabbing their pens and papers, and brainstorming, how can we deal with this? And I was like, wow, this is not at all what I was expecting. And I kind of sat back. I really didn't have a whole lot to say at first. And the more that I was listening to what was going on and observing, I finally just made the determination, I want to be a part of this. And so I started speaking my mind as to what, you know, I felt we could do to further the cause. And I met some very interesting people, highly intelligent individuals that know their law. They know the law. And when I say the law, I mean the Constitution of the United States of America, the supreme law. And they know it frontwards and backwards, and they're not afraid to vocalize that. And so I was honored to be there, truly. Now, at one point, I was asked to mention at this CSPOA meeting something that had happened to me while I was en route to this meeting. Prior to attending the meeting, I was very vocal to my own agency and also to some surrounding agencies where I was going and what I was going to be doing and what I was planning to get on out of this. And when I got to the airport, my life sort of changed, and I mean that quite literally. Since the date that I attended the airport to depart for Las Vegas, I have been placed on administrative leave. My agency has been totally disbanded. And then as of last night, I was terminated. And through all of this, I was not giving one single reason as to why. I do not have one paper document with anything with regards to disciplinary action, allegations, or otherwise. And so this is a situation that I'm just sort of feeling out, and I'll have to try to seek remedies through the courts and so forth. I have no desire to go back to work for the Village of Hamus Springs. I am going to miss the people, and the people are the true victims in this. But I've said this before, and I'll say it again, this is not about Shane Harger. It's not. I'm merely a blade of grass that was trampled on under the foot of TSA. Since this incident happened to me, multiple other articles have come out nationally about other individuals that have been humiliated and unlawfully detained by security officers. That's what they are. It's TSA security. These are not law enforcement officers. They're not sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States, to my knowledge. And if they are, they're certainly violating that oath. And so at this point, I just want to do whatever I can to continue to support people's efforts to remain free and independent. I know within the bottom of my heart that I did the right thing for the right reasons, and I'll say that truth can always withstand investigation. And what I mean by that is if someone is telling the truth, if you look into the facts that surround their statements, the facts will show that they are, in fact, telling the truth. And so with all the allegations made by TSA, I now have copies of most of the videos, and I have witness statements, and the truth will come out. Prior to working for Hamus Springs, I was involved in a high-profile case, and for my own protection, I had to have my name changed. And so TSA sort of tried to make this the premise for their misconduct. You know, well, you have two different identifications, therefore, figuratively speaking, you must be a terrorist because you have two different forms of identification.
Yeah.
Now, I think Sheriff Mack could testify that he himself has had two different forms of identification. Is that not true, Sheriff?
That is absolutely true. I was an undercover narcotics officer one time in my career. I had a driver's license that was in the name of a Gary R. Layton. So, yes, I've had it before, and it's not an uncommon thing to have in law enforcement. I mean, it's not every day that you see that, but it does happen. And first and foremost, Dave, you need to know that there was nothing illegal, immoral, unethical, or criminal about having a different name as Chief Harger had. It was all in the line of duty. It was to protect him from some threats that he had received. And so plain and simply, this was a complete and entire overreaction by the TSA. And when Chief Harger went through, he was upfront about all of this, and they had checked out his identity, and he showed three or four different forms of identification to show that he indeed was Shane Harger, Chief of Police in Hamus Springs. And after going through two or three checks on his ID, he was then signaled to go ahead. And he was getting ready to get on the plane, and then in comes Gil Guadarrama, a supervisor with the TSA, and he really starts to shake Chief Harger down, and maybe Chief ought to let us know how that went.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I made contact with this individual, he was in a dark suit. He just flashed some credentials in a wallet, put that back in his suit coat, was very stern. He was rude in his mannerisms and demanded to see ID. And at that point, I very politely asserted my rights. I just simply said, you know, I just want to be free to go. I've already presented my credentials. I've committed no crime. And he was going to have none of it. He absolutely was adamant about interrogating me. And when I challenged his authority, he became very upset about that, and he vocalized that in the form of a threat. I say threat because everything he said he was going to do, he did, and obviously the implied intent behind his threat was carried out in its entirety. So when he said, I know people in your district, and I'm going to make some phone calls, you've not heard the last of me. So those phone calls were made. And I did not hear the last of him. Ultimately, I was placed on administrative leave, as I stated, and I was terminated effective last night with no reason given. Now, Sheriff Mack can testify to this, and certainly anyone who's ever worked in any type of a human resources or management background, law enforcement or otherwise, there's protocol. So when an allegation is made, an investigation has to be launched. The first thing you have to do is you have to place the target of that investigation on notice. Mr. Smith, the allegation was made that you did thus and such. And at that point, you have to follow standard operating procedures, and you'll either place them on administrative leave or some type of restricted duties or specific instructions as to how to handle themselves in regards to the allegation. Then the proper authorities investigate it. Then findings are rendered, and then action is taken based on those findings. It's either going to be unfounded or this is what our facts and findings are, and we're going to take this particular action. In 15 years of law enforcement, I have never seen a case like mine where there's been no investigation, no findings, and yet someone was terminated and an entire department was disbanded. I certainly feel that this was a direct result of the overreaching of an overzealous TSA security guard.
But how does the TSA security guard tie into your town exactly?
That's the curious thing, is because he has no jurisdiction there, but he knows people there. I was told that he met with the sheriff of Sandoval County, Sheriff Doug Wood, that he met with Councilman Dave Ryan of the village of Hamas Springs and one other individual from the village of Hamas Springs. I'm not going to say who that is because I can't confirm that yet. But I do know that for sure those three people met together in secret. I was told by Dave Ryan that the FBI was also present, and they reviewed a video, and the allegation was made by Gilbert Waterama that I had threatened him and that I was using false, fraudulent identification. And so based on those allegations alone, I was terminated. Now, in the media, several media sources have put out there immediately that I was terminated. And they were attacked for that because other people called and said, well, wait a minute, he's still working there. What they didn't gather was that, in essence, I was terminated. It was just a prolonged termination because I was owed sort of back pay in the sense that I had quite a bit of comp time. And so the village didn't want to have to pay out that comp time, so they made me use that comp time while on administrative leave and then ultimately terminated as of last night.
How long have you been the chief there?
I've been there 6.5 months. In the time that I was there, I was put in for a commendation the day before the incident occurred at TSA. I had over 125 citizens show up to express their gratitude for our department and how we cleaned up our town, and I was put in for a raise.
Sheriff, what do you make of this? What do you think is the force behind all this?
Well, we need to make sure we put this whole thing into proper perspective. Chief Harger is absolutely correct in regards to his analysis of how something like this is supposed to be handled. And this whole thing, I was in law enforcement 20 years. I've been around and associated with law enforcement probably easily for the last 35 years of my life. I have never seen anything even close to this. This is almost like a Salem witch trial. You're guilty if you're not able to breathe underneath the water as we dunk you. This is just so ridiculous. It's so unprofessional. In fact, calling it unprofessional is being far too kind. Okay, the situation was at the airport, and everything was taken care of, and then this Guadarrama comes in and starts playing Mr. Big Shot, and Chief Harger informed him and asked him, am I under arrest? Am I being detained? And the guy said no, and he says, well, then I'm leaving. And then, oh, Mr. Guadarrama, he was really indignant about that and thought that Chief Harger was disrespecting his position as a supervisor with the TSA. And what Chief Harger did not like is the disrespect for the Constitution and his time there in being interrogated and given the third degree about having a different identification. And all the authorities in Emma Springs and Sandoval County were already aware of this. So the only threat that really came was from the TSA supervisor, Guadarrama. Another interesting side note there is Guadarrama used to work for the Border Patrol, and he was fired. He was terminated. And Dave, just take a big fat guess why he was terminated. Well, I know you don't know, so I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
He was terminated because he was having sexual relations with illegal aliens, kind of a trading favors for sex scandal. And so he was fired. He probably should have been charged using his position for such. But anyway, he was fired and then immediately thereafter hired by the TSA and put in a supervisory role.
Wow.
I believe that that's probably the ultimate scandal, the ultimate corruption that this whole thing is going to expose. But again, remember, there was only two things that happened to Chief Harger. From the time he left Hema Springs, New Mexico, and everything's fine, his relationship with the sheriff is fine, his relationship with the city is fine, his work is exemplary, he's being commended and receiving commendations and put in for a raise. And then he goes through the airport, has the confrontation with Guadarrama, and attends a Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association conference in Las Vegas. Those are the only two things that happened. He gets home, all of his employees are terminated, disbanded, they're gone, they're all removed, and he's put on administrative restrictions that is as close to being terminated as you could possibly get. And all they were doing is stalling for some time so they could seek some sort of legal counsel. Now, this is my opinion here. I believe they were seeking some sort of legal counsel so that they could try to justify what they were doing and try to keep everything secret. They were hoping that they wouldn't have to expose anything, and I'm sure they got some flunky attorney to tell them, oh yeah, you know, you can fire him without cause. You don't have to say anything to him. Just tell him he's gone. Because of the corruption behind this, they are sadly mistaken. And we're going to assist Chief Harger with this whole investigation and hopefully file a lawsuit against Hema Springs. It might go much further than that. We want to take this thing national on, one, the mistreatment of Chief Harger by the TSA and by the sheriff of Sandoval County, Doug Wood, and by his own city council. The city council might have a legal standing that's appropriate or that's at least okay in terminating Chief Harger. But how they did it and why they did it is the real question here. And the corruption behind this within the TSA and their hiring practices of taking people who just got fired from another federal agency, why does he need to be fired by one and then hired by another? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I believe that there's a lot of corruption that's going to be exposed here. And if they had been smart, they would have just told Chief Harger, look, we're sorry about all this. Let's get back to work and let's take care of this as best we can. But I am positive, and so is Chief Harger, that the TSA guy who threatened him and said he would make some calls to make his life miserable, that he did exactly that, and that we will find that out. And obviously phone records will be subpoenaed, and I believe that this is going to be something they're going to be very sorry about.
Shane, you got the best on your side there. I know you know that by now. You've seen him in action and you've heard him speak. But you're out of work, you're out of money. And how many other people did they put on the unemployment line?
10.
10 families?
Correct.
How are you doing?
It's disheartening. The real problem I have, I just got out of court on a case this morning, and I met with one of my former officers, and it was a very difficult thing for me. I'm going to try and not get emotional here on the phone. For me to look that officer in the face, to look him in the eyes, and have to tell him that I'm sorry this happened to him, that all this has gone down the way that it is, it's a very difficult thing for me to do. You know, we're talking about men of integrity who didn't have a dog in the race. They were at my agency almost on a volunteer basis. When I say almost, I mean, these guys were putting in anywhere from 16 to 20 hours a week, you know, because they worked full-time jobs elsewhere. And they're putting this time in with my agency and only getting paid a little over minimum wage for their actions. They were there for the right reasons. It was not about the money. And their thank you for their servitude was have the chief come to them and say, you're disbanded. Turn in all your stuff with no reason given as to why. I couldn't give him a reason as to why. None of them. And that was the hardest thing for me. But, you know, to reiterate what Sheriff Mack said, this all could have been avoided. They could have simply said, you know what? This was not handled properly. We really should have handled this differently. Let's just move forwards and continue serving the people. You've done a great job up until now. Let's just keep moving forward. I really feel like I could have worked with that. But instead, they wanted to continue with the secret proceedings, the secret meetings, these executive sessions that the public's not allowed to be in, making determinations behind the scenes without following protocol, without following due process. And, you know, if my memory serves me correctly, we had a president by the name of John F. Kennedy. That president was assassinated. But prior to his assassination, he gave a speech. And he said that we had to be careful of things like that, where you have secret proceedings.
Secret society speech.
Secret society speech, that's correct. In a free and open society, the word secrecy is repugnant. And so that's all I kept hearing was those words over and over in my mind when I'm literally standing outside my own police department. I was ordered out of the building last night while they had this closed-door executive meeting. And it took them all of 15 minutes behind closed doors to call me in and say, you're terminated, effective immediately, turn in all your stuff. Now, I can't think of anything more unprofessional. Now, there's equipment that needs to be logged in, evidence that has to be, there's a chain of custody and things of that nature, payroll issues and so forth. There's a way to do things. So on its face, this whole thing was very unfortunate. But again, this is not about me. This is about citizens of the United States losing their rights one step at a time. And I am thankful. I'm extremely thankful for media outlets such as yours, the Liberty Roundtable, USA Prepares, AlexJones.com, and most of all for the CSPOA, because these people are standing up for truth, whatever that truth may be, regardless of who disagrees or agrees, the truth will always stand on its face. And you guys are doing the right thing, and I want to be a part of that. I'm proud to be a part of that. I pray that any negative publicity that's come against me in no way tarnishes the reputation of the CSPOA or viable media sources such as yours, and I pray that we can move forward and educate the public about what's truly happening here.
Well, like I said, Sheriff Mack and his organization, as you know, are the top-notch and probably one of the last lines of defense against the erosion and encroachment of the Constitution. What I can't understand is it seems like to me that maybe I don't understand it all, but you didn't really do anything, right?
No, sir. If I had, there would be a document supporting that allegation. There's no documentation because nothing happened. You know, I've since reviewed the video, and hindsight's 20/20, but whenever you get a chance to watch yourself on video, rather than just going off of recollection, it really makes things crystal clear. And I got to tell you, I was furious watching that video. I felt molested, violated, all over again. Something rose up within me, and I just said, I can't go through that again. I won't go through that again. And so I told my wife, I will not fly again on those types of airlines. I refuse to. I will either drive, take a bus, a train, or a private plane through certain individuals that want to charter with me. But, you know, I've gotten just a gamut of emails from U.S. citizens, literally, so much that it shut down our server for the police department. Just to name a few, I got one last night prior to this incident. It was from a citizen, and they said, quote, Chief Harger, I'm going to read this to you. Chief Harger, I am so pleased to learn that as a citizen, I'm welcome to join an honorable organization such as the CSPOA. Without organizations such as this standing up for our liberties, what does tomorrow hold for me and my grandchildren? Sincerely, Renee Pischoff.
That's absolutely true. Sheriff, do you think that this is all retribution because Shane attended your conference?
That was definitely part of it. I believe that the people at the airport knew he was coming. The reason I say that is because we've had other sheriffs and attendees be shaken down now by the FBI. And the FBI has called them. Chief of Police Larry Kirk in Missouri and Sheriff Michael Dixon in Missouri were called by the FBI asking them if they are part of the militia movement or asking them if they are part of the sovereignty movement, asking them what their beliefs are, their political beliefs. Really strange stuff going on. Chief Harger is also attacked by the federal government. It just simply exposes more of their corruption and them trying to control the sheriffs and chiefs of police who want to stand for freedom. And again, I want all your listeners to know, Dave, I know you already know this, and I know Chief Harger knows this, but this is a peaceful process. We're about a very strong stand, but to keep this movement for freedom in America a peaceful process. And we hope to avoid any type of violence associated with people wanting their freedom back. I know people are very frustrated in this country, and that's very understandable with what's going on with the corruption of this administration. So we're going to continue to fight for this, and we need everybody anybody listening to this program, we need everybody to become a member. The email that Chief Harger just read is absolutely true, and we can't do this without you. And we're going to be raising money for Chief Harger's legal fees here, and anybody and everybody can donate to this. Go to our website at cspoa.org and donate, and just put a little flag on there and say this is for Chief Harger, or you can put Shane Harger. I still call him Chief. People still call me Sheriff, even though I'm not a sheriff now.
Right.
But Chief Harger will always be Chief Harger to me. And we've got to come together and make sure that we fight this. If we just let it go, then they're going to keep doing this. The federal government's going to keep hiring criminals that will attack us at the airports. It makes me wonder who else they have hired. If they'll put somebody like that in a supervisory position who has been fired for such unethical and illegal conduct, then who else have they hired who maybe aren't supervisors? Is the TSA so hard up for employees that they have to hire people who've been fired by other agencies for such conduct?
Right.
I mean, good grief, let's get real here. So we're going to get real, but we need the American people behind this, and everyone become a member and donate at cspoa.org, cspoa.org.
And of course, you don't have to have any law enforcement background to become a member.
No, there's a leg for citizens to join. There's a leg for public officials and law enforcement to join. So absolutely, we want everybody to be part of this.
Chief Harger, how are you doing?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing now? I mean, the other folks didn't make much income off of this. Was this a substantial source of income for you?
Well, this was my primary source of income. Prior to accepting this position, I was a business owner, a successful business owner. I owned a construction company, and you know, I built up a reputation as a viable contractor. But as a result of taking this job, I had to shut down my business. It wasn't fair to the citizens for me to try and do both. And I was in this for the right reasons. I truly wanted to make a difference, and I went in that position with the best of intentions. And I made up my mind I was going to give it my best. And so I just went full forwards. We went from no officers with literally no equipment to speak of to having 10 officers and plenty of equipment. I brought in quite a bit of funding for our agency, and we really moved forwards. When they did this last night, figuratively speaking, it knocked the wind out of me. I got home last night, guys, and I didn't even say a word to my wife. My poor little wife, she looked at me, and she says, "What happened?" And I just didn't know how to tell her. And my son comes out of his room, and he says, "Daddy," he's only 8 years old. He looks up at me and says, "Daddy, did you get fired?" And I had to turn my head away from him. I didn't want him to see me crying. You know, I just had to say, "Son, it's going to be okay. Go on back to bed." I gave him a hug, and he went back to bed. And I had to try and console my wife and explain to her what was going on. It's a difficult thing.
I'm sorry for what you're going through right now, Chief. And I hope Sheriff can help you. You know what they say, payback is you know what. I hope this gets resolved real quick for you.
Well, I appreciate that. And I'm not looking for vengeance or vindication. I'm looking for restitution of our republic. I'm looking for people to be left free. Just people allowed to travel freely. I just can't tell you what it does to me to be driving down the road and see these DWI checkpoints, to see these cameras everywhere filming you when you go up to a red light. You go to the mall to go shopping, and there's a mall cop, security guard following you around. If you leave your shopping bag on the floor while you go get a fountain drink, they're calling the bomb squad. I don't know what it's going to take. I'm frustrated, and our citizens are frustrated. But I truly believe Patrick Henry was frustrated. George Washington was frustrated. Our forefathers that helped to mold and shape this country were frustrated. And at some point, the citizens have to step up, and the only outlet that I know of that's a viable outlet are the Oath Keepers and the CSPOA and organizations such as that. And I'm going to do everything I can to help those guys in their fight for liberty. I thank you for having me on your show.
Well, thank you, Chief. Thank you for coming on and explaining all this. And thank you, Sheriff Mack, for setting up this interview and for doing everything that you're doing. And I hope that we can speak again in the future when you have some updates to the story.
Hopefully a very positive and successful update will be the next one, but there's just too many people who have committed acts of dishonesty in this whole thing, and we have looked at this over and over and over, and not one of that has been on the shoulders of Chief Shane Harger. He conducted himself admirably, even when he was in a heated confrontation with the TSA guy and telling him he wanted his constitutional rights respected. They were obviously not, and so we're going to make sure that his rights are respected, even if it is after the fact, and we want everyone to know that this is something that we're doing across the country. We've done it with other sheriffs and other peace officers across the country, and Chief Harger is just the latest victim of government overreach and federal corruption.
Yeah, absolutely. Chief, if any of the listeners want to get in touch with you personally, perhaps to send you some emails of support, as you mentioned earlier in the program, is there a way for them to do that?
Absolutely. My email address is officertraining@aol.com. OFFICERTRAINING@AOL.com. OfficerTraining@AOL.com.
Okay, thanks, G. And of course, I just want to make mention of it one more time. CSPOA.org. As Sheriff Mack said, join. And I know this, being in the media and talking to a lot of people and studying and researching this, I don't know of any other organization quite like the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association that is really there for one purpose, to protect the Constitution. This is what it says on the website: to equip sheriffs, peace officers, and public officials with the necessary information and public support to carry out their duties in accordance with their oaths of office. That's what it's all about. If you believe that this is something that you're interested in as well, to rescue the United States from the condition that it's in right now with all of these new rules since 9/11, then by all means, go to CSPOA.org and join and help out Sheriff Mack so he can help out Chief Harger and all the other people that have been attacked. And I personally know of this myself because I've interviewed some of those people. So again, gentlemen, thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners, and looking forward to talking to you when something significant happens.
Be blessed.
You're welcome, and thanks for having us.